All right, we'll get started here. Yes. All right, so today's daf is daf mem ches. We're going to pick up on daf mem zayin amud beis, 11 lines from the bottom. So what was going on here is we have machlokas of Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim about whether kelim are kona shvisa of their own, whether items get their own tchum and their own shvisa. So according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, they do. According to Chacham, they don't. According to Chachamim, therefore, whoever picks them up, the items, the kelim, get the tchum of that person. So that's a general machlokas we've been dealing with for a while. More recently, we started dealing with the question of Rabbi Yehuda or Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, that Chefze Nachri Ein Konin Shvisa, that the items of a guy, of a non-Jew, don't acquire Shvisa, presumably because the guy is not relevant to the halachas of Tchum and Shvisa, and therefore his items don't acquire. So while that's the view of Shmuel, as told us by Rav Yehuda, and we also have Rechir Bar Avin, excuse me, it tells us the name of Rav Yochanan, that Chefze Nachri Konin Shvisa, that in fact the items of a non-Jew do get their own Shvisa. Why? Gzeira Bailam de Nachri Ata Bailam de Yisrael. Because we're concerned that if we allow items that belong to a guy to not get their own shvisa and their own tchum, people will become used to that, and then they'll end up treating items that belong to a Jew also as if they don't have their own tchum, and that would be problematic. So, so now picks up the Gemara with a story, or a psak. Hanu dichri, the asulu mavrachta, that you had these dichri, are male, Rashi says they're elim, they're rams. So you have rams. Hani dichri the asulum of Rachta, that were brought by non-Jews to Mavrachta, which was a city. We're going to see why it's relevant in a minute. So it happened to be a walled city. So shara lehu Rava lev ne mechuzah lemizba minayu. So Rava said people come from Mechuzah can come there on Yom Tif and buy these animals from the non-Jews. And the issue with Mechuzah was a town that was within 4,000 amos of Mavrachta, but in order to get, obviously, to get to Mavrachta, you had to do an Eruv. So the question is as follows, that these Nachrim were presumably, it says they brought them to Mavrachta, so they were probably outside, but even if they were in Mavrachta, if the items of a non-Jew were to come to their own Shvisa, then obviously a person couldn't take them with his Eruv back home to Mechuzah. So from the fact that Rava says they could, it seems that Rava is paskining that items of a non-Jew of a Nachri do not acquire a Shvisa of their own. So Amar le Ravina le Rava. Ravina said to Rava, "My daitcha, what are you thinking when you say this? The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Chefze Nachri Ein Konin Shvisa. Are you thinking because Rav Yehuda told us in the name of Shmuel that the items of a Nachri do not get their own Shvisa, and that's what you're relying on? Well, Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, halachik Rav Yochanan. But we know that if there is a machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, the halacha follows Rav Yochanan. So even though Shmuel says that the items of a Nachri are not kona shvisa, but v'am Rav Chiya Bar Avin am Rav Yochanan, we just learned earlier that Rav Chiya Bar Avin says in the name of Rav Yochanan, chefze Nachri kona shvisa, that the items of a Nachri do in fact get their own shvisa, gzer bailam de Nachri at the bailam de Yisrael, because we're worried that if we allow items that belong to a non-Jew to not be treated as if they have their own tchum, people will come to do that even with the Yisrael's items, which do have their own tchum. So the halacha is like Rav Yochanan against Shmuel, so why were you paskening like Shmuel, that people could take the animals back to Mechuzah as if they had no tchum? They do have a tchum, and they had a shvisa that does not allow them to be carried back to Mechuzah. To which Hadam Rava, so Rava went back and said, so basically he reversed his view, and he's like, you're right, I can't allow the residents of Mechuzah to bring the animals back with them, because at the end of the day they belong to a non-Jew somewhere and they got a tchum of their own. But what Rava said they could do, Hadam Rava, Rava said, Lizdavnu Livnei Mavrachta, that Jews in Mavrachta can buy these animals from these non-Jews. Why? The Kula Mavrachta Lididhu Kedalad Amas Damya. Because as relates to these animals that are there sold in Mavrachta, that the entire city is like their Dalad Amos. So where does that come from? So we learned in the Mishnah on Mem Aleph, I think, and we learned the halacha that if Nachrim brought someone to a place that it took them somewhere, and that place happens to be a Deir or a Sohar, which are fenced in places, or a walled city, of which Mavrachta was a walled city. So then the entire enclosure, or the entire city, is considered like their Daor Amos. Now we know that that halacha of Rabbi Gamliel was only if they were brought there beheter. But since in this case, they were brought by non-Jews who don't have a shvisa, who don't have a tchum, therefore they were allowed to bring to Mavrachta. So this is no different than a Jew who gets deposited in an enclosed area that even though he's only entitled to Daor Amos, he gets the entire cities, and so too these animals, even though they came from somewhere else outside the Tchum, it doesn't matter because when they reach Mavrachta, you get all of Mavrachta because that is, there's a walled city and they get the entire city. Okay, so, new thing now. So we're at the second to bottom line of Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Tani Reb Chiya taught a Braisa as follows. Cherem shebein tchumei Shabbos. I'll read it first, and then I'll explain what it means. Cherem is it's like a fishing net that's made out of reeds. So cherem shebein tchumei Shabbos. If you have a fishing net that's strung directly between two tchumei Shabbos, between two tchums, I'll explain what this means in a second. Tzarech mechitza shel barzel lahafsiko. That it needs a mechitza wall of iron in order to be mafsik the water. Okay. We'll see what that means. So what the case is as follows. You had two towns, which, as I understand it, were 4,000 amas from each other. Exactly. So the tchum of each town, goes 2,000 amas in each direction. So basically, because these towns were 4,000 amas apart, their tchums met at a single point. There was no overlap. It was exactly 2,000 amas. And so therefore, you have two tchumen that come up right against each other. And on that center point, you had a body of water. And that body of water is partially in the tchum of one town and partially in the tchum of the other town because it's right on that line. And running down that line was some kind of net or reed trap for fish. And so the question is the mechitza. So what happens is, the way we're going to initially understand this is as follows, that the problem is, and Rashi says a very important yesod. So if we take a look, the first wide line of Rashi, toward the end, Rashi says, kol ma shebetoch tchum ha'ir, that anything that's within the tchum of a city, ein kona shvisa b'mkomo, it doesn't acquire, even if Kalim acquire tchum, it doesn't acquire its own tchum where it is. He doesn't get 2,000 amas from where it is to any direction. Ela basar ha'ir garir, that he goes after the city. So the basic idea is, any item that's within the tchum of a city, when it gets its own tchum, it doesn't get the tchum from where it's situated, it gets the tchum of the city. So therefore, in this case, the water of this body of water that's in city A, in the tchum of city A, some of that water on the beginning of, that was in the tchum of city A on the beginning of Shabbos has now shifted into the tchum of city B, to the other side of this body of water. And so therefore, the concern is that you cannot draw any water from this body of water from either city, even though some part of this body of water is in the tchum of each, because there's a mixing of waters, and some of the water that started in one tchum ended up in a different tchum. So therefore, it seems to be saying that this cherem, which was made out of branches or reeds or something like that, that is insufficient, and you need a mechitza shel barzel, an iron mechitza, in order to separate it. Okay, so this was the brisa of Rabbi Chiya. So to that, mechayech alei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, mechayech, I think, comes from the language of like a smile, but it means he laughed at him. He didn't like it. He scoffed, he ridiculed something. It was a negative reaction where Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina did not like this brisa. He laughed at it. So ask the Gemara, my time of kamechayech, why did he laugh at this or ridicule it? The Gemara says, so the Gemara is going to go through a series of things to try and figure out what was so bad about what he said that he had to laugh at it. It's one thing to respond and say, I don't like what you said, but you're laughing at it. So the Gemara says, so maybe you'll tell me that the reason he laughed at him was because he was basically paskening that water assumes the tchum of the city, and then therefore it has its own shvisa, and when it mixes with the water from the other tchum, it messes everyone up. So he's paskening like Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri that things acquire their own tchum, and he's doing it lechumra. And we learned before that we rely on Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri lekula, but not lechumra. So says the Gemara. Maybe Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina didn't like that he was relying on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri lechumra. The iu svira lei kirabanan lekula, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina held like the rabbanan lekula. So maybe that's why he laughed at him. So ask the Gemara. Umishum the savor lekula man the tani lechumra mechayichala. He says just because someone thinks that we should be makel by a halacha that someone else who learns lechumra we're going to laugh at him or we're going to ridicule him. Why? What on earth? Okay, you have him. You disagree. Maybe you think he's wrong, but why would you laugh at him? So rather, why did he laugh at him? Mishum the sanya, because we learned in a brisa. Now we actually encountered this brisa on Thursday, which said, Naharos Hamoshkin, Umayanos Hanovin, that if you have rivers that draw forth, meaning they're flowing, Umayanos is like a spring, Hanovin, which is gushing out. Hare Hang Karagle Kaladam, we say those waters are like the feet of any person, meaning whoever takes them, it assumes the tchum of the person who took it. So what's the concept here? We talked about this before. We've talked about it in a few, alluded to it or talked about it in a few contexts here, which is the idea that if water is in motion, it can't acquire tchum. So therefore you have these flowing rivers, and the flowing river can't acquire tchum. So therefore, maybe that's why Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina was laughed at Rabbi Chiya because, Rabbi Chiya's Braisa, because he said, we're dealing here with moving water. And if it's moving water, of course it can't get a tchum. So why are you talking about that we're worried that it's mixing between the tchums? It's moving water. So the Gemara says, not so fast. Why would you laugh at Rav Chiya? V'dilma b'mechunasin. Maybe Rav Chiya's Braisa was talking about where the water was not moving water. It was a lake. It might move enough to mix between the two sides, but it's not flowing somewhere. It's not moving enough that it can't acquire a shvisa. Okay, so we're still trying to figure out why did Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina laugh at Rabbi Chiya's Braisa. So Ela Mishum Dektani. So maybe because this that he learned, Tzarech Mechitza Shabarzel Avsiko. He seemed to say that a net or trap of reeds was not enough to create a mechitza, but you need a mechitza of iron. So it says the Gemara, Umayshna Kanim Delo. What's the reason when you have branches that make the net, it doesn't? The Aili Buhumaya, because you're saying that's not a good mechitza, because water goes back and forth between this net, and therefore, the water mixes. So it seemed to be saying that Rav Chiya was saying a reed net doesn't work, but a wall of barzel wills. But says the Gemara, shall barzel nami aili b'umayo. But a wall of iron is no better, because also the water is going to come in. So what is this idea that the water is going to come in even by a wall of barzel? So take a look at the top Rashi. Rashi says, mechitza shel barzel nami aili b'umayo, that the mechitza of barzel, also the water is going to go up into it, mitasoi, from underneath it, the hastam mechitza yotvachim hi. Because Rashi says, a regular mechitza, when we say you have to put up a mechitza shabarzo, it's 10 tvachim, v'lo matia at karkoyes hamayim, and it doesn't reach the bottom of the water. So it's saying you put in a mechitza barzo, the mechitza only needs to be 10 tvachim tall, maybe the bottom of the water is 50 tvachim down. And so anyway, what difference does it make, a reed mat which the water goes through, or a wall of iron that the water goes underneath? And continues Rashi, v'afilu magasa karkoyes Hamayim, even if you're going to tell me that this mechitza of barzel touches all the way to the seabed, to the bottom of the water, e'efshar shalei kamtzu hamayim mitachtah, the water is still going to leak underneath, and you're still, in other words, because the surface of the water is not smooth, and therefore water is going to leak anyway. And so what's better about a mechitza of barzel than a thing of kanim? So maybe that's why he laughed at him. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Maybe you're misunderstanding Rav Chiya. Maybe what Rav Chiya was saying, the mechitza of reeds doesn't work because you need a mechitza of barzel, and even that you can't get, meaning there's no wall you can get that actually stops the water. So maybe that's all Rav Chiya was saying, so don't laugh at him. Maybe the very point you're making, which is there's no wall that can separate and be absolutely watertight, maybe that's the same thing Rav Chiya was saying. So we're still stuck with, why did Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina laugh at Reb Chia's Braisa. So now the Gemara is going to finalize and say, Ella, and I'm going to read it and then I'll explain a little bit better. Ella mishum de kal hu shekil chachamim mayim. The reason he laughed at him is because there's a special kula that the chachamim applied with water. Kid Rabbi Tabla, like Rabbi Tabla. Now we've in fact encountered this before. I'll tell you in a second where. Kid Rabbi Tabla, like Rabbi Tabla. The boy minay Rabbi Tabla may Rav. Rabbi Tabla asked Rav, mechitza tzluya ma'u shetati b'churba. Can you have a mechitza tzluya, a hanging mechitza, suspended mechitza? Can that be a valid mechitza in a churva, in a ruin? We'll talk about this in a second. So Amar Lei, Rav said to Rav Tabla, Ein mechitza tzluya mataris ala b'mayim. No, it doesn't work in a churva because the only time a mechitza tzluya works is by water. Kalhu shekilu chachamim mayim, because that's a special kula that the chachamim gave by water. So first of all, we encountered this twice before. Once we did it on Daf Yud Beis, I think, where we were talking about two places, the Yud Beis and I think Tesvav. One where if we have a vertical, where it's omid merub al aparetz, but that it's greater than three trachim, so whether the wall can be considered closed. We know lavud is a problem of gedion bokimbo, if gedion go underneath. So we talked about it there in the context of oven merubal aparetz, but it's hanging above the ground. And we talked about it also with the idea of out of chutzer, if the wall broke down and there was an inlet of the sea that came in, lashon shel yam, and we said you put up one pas instead of two. In both cases, we dealt with this issue. But the actual source, so what's going on here is as follows, that Rav Tabla asked Rav, what about a hanging mechitza? Now he said in a churva, it doesn't have to be in a churva. A churva is a ruin, but the reason he asked that is because where do you normally have hanging walls that don't reach the floor is in a destroyed building. So you have a mechitza and it doesn't reach all the way to the floor. So the question was, can you take the mechitza down and consider the mechitza as if it's closed? To which Rav answered Rav Tavla and said, no, because mechitza tzluya only works by water, because by water the Chachamim made a special kula. So what is that case? We're going to actually encounter this in Daf Pei Vav, I think, where the Gemara talks about, the Mishnah talks about the following thing, that if you had two, you had a chatzar, one chatzar next to another chatzar, and between the two was some kind of bar or a cistern or a bar, something between the two, and the drawing on the same water source. And so this water hole was partially in one chatzer, partially in another chatzer, and those two chatzeros did not have an eruv between them. So it's the same problem we had that we've been dealing here with the two tchumim, is that the water could mix, and therefore you're taking something from one from one to another. So the Mishnah says there on Daf Pei Vav that as long as you stick in a mechitza that's 10 tefachim, whether it goes, it could be where the water goes above it, the water goes beneath it, it doesn't matter. If you have a mechitza in the middle, if you have a mechitza there of 10 tefachim, that's enough to allow both chatzeros to draw water from that common pit, even though the two chatzeros don't have a ruvei chatzeros or shutufei mavos between them. They don't have an eruv between them. So that's the special kula by water. So to this, Rav Tabla said to Rav, you asked me about a regular hanging wall or suspended wall in a ruin. That's on ground. That doesn't work because it's only by water that Chachamim made, so that enabled people to get water, that Chachamim made a takana, that a hanging wall is going to go down. So Rav Yossi, Rav Chanina laughed at Rav Chia because he said, what? Why should it be any different than the case if I have a mechitza that's 10 tefachim, but the water goes above it or the water goes beneath it, so, and that's still considered a good mechitza because it's a special kula by water. Here we're dealing with water, and what difference does it make if the water goes beneath or above it or the water goes right through it because it's kanim? Either way, it's a special kula we have by water, and therefore he laughed at Rav Chia's Braisa because he's like, you're telling me that a net of reeds is not good enough because presumably it's not solid enough like an iron wall. But what difference does it make if the water goes through it? Because we see by water, we allow the water to go under it or over the mechitza, and yet we still consider it a valid mechitza by water. So that's why Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina did not like the Braisa of Reb Chiya. Okay, says the Gemara. The Chachamim ain lo ela arba. So in order to understand this Gemara, we have to remember the Mishnah. So we had the Mishnah on Daf Memhei. So basically, to refresh our recollection, this is the bottom of Memhei Amud Aleph, that if you had someone who was sleeping, and Shabbos came in, and so Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds, like, look, at the end of the day, he might have been sleeping, but you don't need Das in order to acquire a tchum, as in fact demonstrated by the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri allows Kalim, which obviously don't have Das, to acquire their own tchum. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, it doesn't matter if he's sleeping, he still gets a tchum of 2,000 amos. And to this says the... So that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. To this, the Chachamim Omrim, Ein lo ela arba amos. He doesn't get 2,000 amos, he gets 4 amos. Okay, Rabbi Elazar Omer, v'hu b'emtzayim. When he gets 4 amos, he's right in the middle of that 4 amos. So therefore, he can go 2 amos to the north, and 2 amos to the west, 2 amos to the east, 2 amos to the south, but he's right in the middle of his 4 amos. And then Rabbi Yehuda Omer, le'ezer ro sheyirtze yelech. He goes whichever way he wants. His 4 amos can go whichever way he wants. And continues the Mishnah, Moder Rabbi Yehuda agrees, admits, Shem Birlo, once he picks which 4 amos he wants, Shem Yochel Achzerbo, he can't switch. So he could take the 4 amos to his west, or his north, or his northwest, or whatever he wants, but he basically only gets 4 by 4, and you could pick your 4 amos. So that's the Mishnah. So to this, the Gemara asks, So Rabbi Yehuda, Hainu Tanakama. The Tanakama responded to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, says, no, he only gets 4 amos. Rabbi Elazar said 4 amos, but he has to be in the middle. And then Rabbi Yehuda said, no, he gets 4 amos wherever he wants. So the question is, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama are saying the same thing. You get 4 amos wherever you want. So the Gemara says, Amarava, not so fast. There's actually a big difference between them. Shmona ikabenai. The question is, so the Rabbanan hold that you get 4 amos in every direction. So basically they're saying you get shmona al shmona. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, sorry, you only get 4 amos. In other words, when he says in any direction, when the Chum say he gets 4 amos, means he gets 4 amos in every direction. 4 amos to the north, 4 amos to the south, 4 amos to the east and west. So essentially he's in the center of an 8 by 8 amos square. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, who says that he gets 4 amos in whichever direction he picks, he has to pick a specific 4 by 4 area. So there's a big difference between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim give him 8 by 8, and Rabbi Yehuda gives only 4 by 4. So the Gemara says, Tanyanami Hachi, we learned this also in a Braisa, Yesh lo shmona shmona de Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says you get shmona shmona. So when we had the Chachamim, so the Chachamim was get shmona al shmona. So you see Reb Meir, which is presumably synonymous with the Chachamim, that there's a mandamer who holds you get 8 by 8. Okay. V'amar Rava points out, machlokas lahalech. This idea that you can get 8 amos by 8 amos, that's only for purposes of where you can walk on Shabbos, like where your tchum is just your 8 amos. Aval taltel, divya kol 4 amos in tvelo. But that doesn't mean you can carry for 8 amos by 8 amos, because where is he? He's traveling. He's in a Rishus Rabban somewhere, or a Carmelist, or a Rabbanan, which we say you only get your 4 amos. You can only carry something 4 amos in a Rishus Rabban. So the fact that we're giving you a tchum of 8 by 8 doesn't mean you can carry 8 amos. It means you can walk 8 amos. But you cannot carry any more than 4 amos from where you are. So now, ask the Gemara. New thing. Vahani Dalad Amos. These Dalad Amos that we're talking about that someone is stuck with, if they are traveling and they don't have a tchum, Heicha Siva, where is it written in the Torah? So you might ask me, wait a second, we keep saying, according to most opinions, tchumen is Derabanan. So first of all, you have the one who holds Deraisa, so maybe he's asking according to that. And then according to one who says Derabanan, so the Meiri says, we're asking, where is it Merumas, where is it hinted to, or an allusion, or an Asmachta, for this concept. Also, the Rambam learns that this Gemara is also seeking a source for the idea, the whole idea that when you're in Rosh Hashanah, that you can carry within your 4 amos. So that's obviously a concept that interacts with the halacha d'oraisa of carrying in Rosh Hashanah. So that would make sense why you have psukim. So in any event, the question that the Gemara is asking is where's the pasuk that tells me that a person gets his own 4 amos? So the Gemara says, "Kedisanya," like we learned in a Braisa, "Shvu ish tachtov, kit tachtov." So what's going on here? So we know that in the Midbar, the Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jews, go out on Friday and you collect double portion of man, and don't go out on Shabbos, because you're going to go out of the Tchum. You're going to go out of the Machna to collect the man. You're not supposed to go out of your Tchum. So what happens? Of course, the Jews, some Jews, went and collected on Shabbos. So, or went to look for it on Shabbos. It didn't come down. So Rashi says, the Pasuk says, Re'u, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden, Re'u, see, ki Hashem nasan lechem haShabbos, Hashem gave you the Shabbos, Al kein hu nosan lechem bayom haShishi lechem yomayim, that's why he gave you on Friday double portion, Shvu ish tachtov. So the Pasuk in the Pasuk is, he says, no, each person should stay in his place, Al yetzei ish memkomo bayom haShishi, shouldn't go out on the seventh day. But the way we're understanding it is that Moshe Rabbeinu told these Jews, look, you came out of your tchum, and you came out of the machane of the Yidden, so now, shvu ish tachtov, sit where on what's underneath you, meaning you're stuck here now, because you left your tchum, so you only have dalad amos. And where does it say? It says, shvu ish tachtov, sit beneath, what's beneath you, which tells you the amount of space you have is kit tachtov, like that which is beneath you. Ask the Gemara of a kama tachtov, how much is beneath a person that is the area that they have to stay in? So the Gemara says, gufo shalosh amos, that a person's height, the body of a person is 3 amos. Va'ama kedei lishot yodav raglov, and he also needs another ama to basically, you have to let the guy stretch out, so if he stretches out his hands and his feet, he basically occupies another ama, by stretching out, so we give him 4, 3 for his body and an ama for maneuvering. Divrei Rabbi Meir, these are Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, gufo shalosh amos, a person's height is 3 amos. Va'ama kedei sheyito chefetz mitachas margolosov umeniach tachas mirashosov. But he needs an extra ama if he needs to take something from the area by his feet and put it by his head. That's Rabbi Yehuda. So my binayu, so what's the difference between them? Both of them say, 3 amos of a person's body plus an amo. One says for stretching, one says for moving something from your feet to your head. So what's the difference between them? The Gemara says, it could be nayu arba amos mitzumtzamos. The question between them is, how exact is this arba amos? Is it exact or is it roughly? It could be a little bit more. So the Rishonim, some Rishonim learn that Rabbi Meir is more, and some Rishonim learn that Rabbi Yehuda is more. Rashi happens to be of the opinion that Rabbi Meir is more, so it's saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that he needs to be able to pick up something from his feet and put it near his head. That's going to be exactly 4 amos. But if you hold like Rabbi Meir, that we're giving him the space it takes to stretch out, the space it takes to stretch out is a little bit more than 4 amos. So it's not an exact 4 amos. So first of all, I think from the Shevet Alevi, I don't remember, that he talks about, what's this business about picking something up from his feet and putting it behind his head? So remember, one of the ways that a guy is stuck in this scenario is that he was on the road or whatever it is, and now he's stuck in his Dalet Amos, right? So what happens if it's Shabbos and he's coming in from the weekday to Shabbos? He has to take off his tefillin. So he's sitting there. So where did he put his tefillin? He put his tefillin by his feet. But we know that halacha is passing the Shulchan Aruch this way, that you cannot go to sleep with your tefillin by your feet. You have to move it up near your head, not under your head, next to your head. So the Gemara is saying that that's the idea, that you need to give him space, that he's able to take the tefillin, which when he was seated, he kept them in front of him, presumably to watch them, that he then, when he lays down, because now his feet are by the tefillin, he then has to pick up the tefillin and move it back by his head. But in any event, these are the 2 measures. So a very interesting thing that this is actually very relevant to us nowadays, which is an interesting thing. So Tosfos talks about the fact that the Gemara in Baba Basra, at the very beginning of Baba Basra, talks about that the concern about Hezek Re'iyah is the idea that sometimes if I can see into your property, it invades your privacy, and I cause you Hezek by observing you in your private area. So that's Hezek Re'iyah. So we talk about the fact that a person, in order to avoid Hezek Re'iyah, you need to put up a fence that's 4 amos tall. So ask Tosos, wait a second, if a person is 3 amos tall, so then why do I need a 4 amma fence for a privacy hedge? I'll just put 3 amas, because a person can't see over the top of his head. So why do I need a 4-am of fence? I should be good with a 3-am of fence. So Tosa says, first of all, there could be like a mound and you end up stepping on the mound and then you could see over it. Or Tosa says, you could stand on your tippy toes and you'll look over. But then Tosa says, anyway, the 3 amos does not include the person's head. So according to Tosos, I think the Rabbeinu Tam learns this way, that 3 amos is the person's body, not including their head. Now, why is that very relevant to us nowadays? I'll tell you as follows, because if you think about it, we know that an amah is from the bottom of your elbow to the top of your middle finger. But if we're trying to figure out the size of an amah, whose arm are we looking at? Like, how do we know the size of an amah? So one of the ways that the contemporary poskim, so the Aruch HaShulchan does this, and others, is they looked at the government manual where they lived about the average height of a man, and they then took that and divided it by 3, to figure out how much is an amah, because an amah, if a body of a man is 3 amahs, so then you divide the size of a man by 3 and you know how much is the measure of an amah. So literally, that's what they did. But then this becomes, you know, as you all know, there's all these opinions about what's the size of an amah. So this became very relevant to this machlokas about whether the 3 amahs includes the head or not. Because if 3 amahs includes the person's body with their head, then an amah is going to be much larger. Now, the other way around. So the question is, if you're taking the size of a man and dividing it by 3, is it the man, are you taking his entire body and saying that's this measure and divided by 3? Or you're saying the 3 amahs only includes his shoulders to his feet, and therefore you have to add on more for his head, which is going to make for a larger amah, if you're trying to figure it out based on the measures of the full size of a person. So that's a very interesting thing. They talk about whether, you know, it was for the military they had these, and whether that was different sized people and the people in different countries. So very interesting, shilas, but this is part of the question about the size of an amah, according to people who measure using this mechanism, is does the 3 amahs include the head or not? Okay, so in any event, says the Gemara, Amrle Rav Misharshia L'Rebbe. Rav Misharshia said to his son, Ki Ailas L'Kamid Rav Papa, when you go in front of Rav Papa, Boi Minei, ask him the following question. Arba Amisha Amru, when we say that a person, it gets 4 amahs, Ba'ama di de yavinon le, o ba'ama shel kodesh yavinon le. Do we say to a guy, look, measure from your elbow to the top of your middle finger, that's your ama, and you get 4 of those, or do we say, we're gonna give him the ama shel kodesh? The ama shel kodesh is a reference. We know there was an area of the Beis HaMikdash called Shushan Abira, and, because it had a picture there, Shushan Abira, but in any event, in Shushan Abira area was 2 measures of an ama. Those were the amas of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the truth is, one was, according to Mishnayos and Kalim, they were both slightly larger than the amah of Moshe Rabbeinu. But whatever it is, that was the amah that they used to use to measure things in the Beis HaMikdash. So do we say there's a generic amah that's comprised of 6 tefachim and here's its size? Or do we let each person figure out his own 4 amahs based on the size of his elbow to the top of his middle finger? So then, Rav Misharshia told his son, go ask Rav Papa this question. And he said, whatever Rav Papa answers you, I'm going to give you a question to ask him back. So says Rav Misharshia, im amar lecha amah shel kodesh yavinon lei, if Rav Papa answers you and says, no, everyone has the same amah, and we go based on the amah that's in the Beis HaMikdash. So ask him the following question. Og melech habasha matahei olav. What would happen if Og melech habasha, who's humongous, is stuck in Dalet Amos, and you're going to tell him he has to stay in Dalet Amos, but Dalet Amos for him, our Dalet Amos is not going to hold him at all. So he said, ask him that if he tells you it's Amos Shal Kodesh. And says Rav Misharshia to some, if he tells you, I'm going to give you that he can use his own measures of 4 amos, so then Emole, say to Rav Papa, ask him the following question. My time alokatani law, why didn't we learn it? Gabe Yesha Amra Kolufi Masha Te Masha Huadam. literally means there are those who say that everything goes according to what he is as a person. So what is this talking about? We actually encountered this, if you recall, and there with greater detail on Daf Lamed, where we were talking about, we figured out that this was the opinion of Sumchus, because Sumchus was the one who said that an Erev has to be relevant to the person. That's why, for example, a Yisrael can't have his Erev made with Truma, according to Sumchus, because he holds that things go by the measure of the individual person. So basically, this is a Mishnah in Kalim, and the Mishnah lists four things that says these are the things that you measure, individual measures, that each person goes by the size of him. So what are those things? The Mishnah lists, when you have to take a kometz of a mincha, the kohen sticks his three fingers in and pulls out some of the mincha. That's however big his three fingers are. And you have malochafnav ketores on Yom Kippur, that the kohen gadol takes two palmfuls. He puts his hand together and takes the ketores. So then that's also depends, are they as big hands or little hands? We also say it by Milo Lugmov on Yom Kippur, the you cannot drink any amount of Yom Kippur, but the shear that someone is chayiv misa for is if he drinks the amount that fills his cheek. So he could have big cheek or small cheek, so that depends on him. And also, we say for Erev Tchumen, you have to put enough food for Mazon Beis Sudas, the amount of food that you would need for two meals. So obviously, some people a meal is big, some people it's small, so it varies based on the person. So the Mishnah and Kalim lists four things that are measured by the person. So Rav Misharshi said to his son, if Rav Papa tells you that to get away from the problem of Og Melech HaBashan, we give everyone the four amas that fits for, that's their four amas, why did that not get listed in the Mishnah that was saying things that are, the measurement varies, depends on the size of the person? So, okay, so that's how Rav Misharshi instructed his son. Ki asa lekamid Rav Papa, when he came in front of Rav Papa, Amrle, so Rav Papa seemed not to like this question very much. He said to him, Ida kinon kuli hai lo have teninon. If you're going to get into all the little details like this, we're never going to get through our learning. That's basically what he said to him. So now, this is a little bit funny to me because I think we spend a lot of time getting into the nitty gritty of how you calculate a measure, but, it's an interesting thing because in the poskim I saw brought in, brought in some of the svarim that they were really pounding on people. They said that they get into the nitty gritty of every word in Rashi or Tosfos, and they try to figure out why did Rashi use this turn of the phrase or that turn of the phrase, and they basically bring this Gemara to say you shouldn't spend your time on these kind of little details. Others say no, it's very appropriate to do it. Spend all the time on the details. So it's an interesting thing, but the Chayadim in the Akdamah to the Chayadim talks about this Gemara and says, basically what he said is like, it's not that there's anything wrong with spending time getting into the nitty gritty, but if you're going to get into the nitty gritty, your job is first to learn the Brisos and the Halachos Psukos, and so Rav Papa was saying like, first learn all the basics and then you can get into the nitty gritty. But in any event, he answered him, but first he said, don't get so granular. But then he said, La'olam, the answer to your question is really, ba'amadi de yavinon le, that really we give him his own ama. Udekakashalach, so this that you asked, my time alakatani gabi yesh amru, why didn't we include it in the Mishnah and Kalim, which listed the things that vary based on the size of the person? The reason it wasn't included in that list of four is the lopsikole, because it's not absolute. It's not absolute that we always take his measurement. Why? Mishum de'ika nana spevaro. There's someone who's a midget in his evarim. So what's the idea here? Is you might have a person who is regular sized human being, but somehow he has a deformity that his evarim are very small. So if his from his elbow to the top of his middle finger is going to be pretty short because he has a very short arm. And so if you're going to give him four amas that way, right, he's not going to fit because he's a regular sized human being. It's just that his arm is short. So the Gemara is saying, so therefore, if you have someone whose arm is short, then you give him the amah of the Kodesh. But otherwise, people like Og Melech HaBashan will get the amah of them, their own amah. If they're a normal sized person, they normal size Evarim, they'll get their own amah. So therefore, says the Gemara, it wasn't included in the Mishnah and Kalim, because the Mishnah and Kalim, you always go based on the individual. And the case of this particular thing, In most cases, you go after the individual, but in some cases, you don't. It's interesting, they brought lehalacha. There are other things. So, like, for example, the question is, we know that we have a shear called kedei achilas pras, the amount of time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread. So the question is, and there are various things tied to that, so the question is this the amount of time that it takes that individual? And so each person has to figure out, how long does it take me to eat a half a loaf of bread? Some people eat quickly, some people eat slow. Or is it a generic measure? So the Menchas Chinuch discusses this, and the Menchas Chinuch basically says, look, the Gemara told us we have one exception here, which is the Dalet Amos for someone's Shvisa, but otherwise it's the four things listed in the Mishnah. So it must be that Achilas Pras varies according to the person, but must be generic in general. The Chazanish actually paskins like that as well. And the Chazanish talks about the fact that, like, you know, but how do we know? What's the generic measure of how long it takes? Who's a generic person for how long it takes? So in fact, La Halacha, it's actually interesting that so for example, the Chazanish, I believe, says that, when it comes to eating on Yom Kippur, so the Shiurim, in other words, if we say if you drink Melo Lugmav or you eat Kezias or whatever the Shiur is, that, I think it's a different Shiur on Yom Kippur, Grogers maybe, but whatever the Shiur is, the question is, did you eat that Bekhtei Achilas Pras? So sometimes you have people who aren't Sakana Mamish, but it's not good for their health to fast, so they drink little bit at a time. So you have to make sure that you don't combine drinks within Achilas Pras. So that, the Chazanish, I think, says, if you wait 9 minutes, that's more than enough to say that it's not within Achilas Pras. But when it comes to things like, for example, you have Mitzvah Daraisa to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach, and you have to eat a kezias of matzah, so then you have to eat that matzah b'chtei Achilas Pras. So then it's a much shorter shear. So they say, don't wait 9 minutes to eat your matzah, because then you might exceed the amount of kedei achilas pras. And so they struggle to figure out exactly what is the measure, but it seems that there is one generic measure. Another place where poskim discuss this is we know that many halachas follow that toch kedei dibor, that if the amount of time it takes you to say shalom alecha rabbi mori, so like for example, if you say baruch ata Hashem hakel hakadosh, and you're supposed to say amelech hakadosh, so if you remember toch kedei dibor, then you just go back and say it again. But if it's beyond that, then you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei, for example. So the question is it the amount of time it takes you to say that, or it takes any person to say that? So I forgot who brings, but they talk about this question, they go back and forth, and it's interesting because the Yerushalmi talks about a different sort of similar concept. The Yerushalmi talks about, we know the halacha is that if someone's davening Kriya Shema, they're reading Kriya Shema, and they stop, and they're just quiet. They're not doing anything, but they don't talk. So we say that if you wait long enough that you could say Kriya Shema, that you could finish Kriya Shema, that then you have to go back and say Kriya Shema from the beginning. So the question is, by whose measure is this? So Yerushalmi goes back and forth on this matter, and ultimately the Yerushalmi concludes that it goes by the Korei, by the person how long it takes you to read Kriya Shema. So therefore, they want to learn from there that the idea of Toch Kedei Dibor would also follow the individual. Now you might ask, why is it not included in the Mishnah? It's actually interesting. They bring that what would be the halacha if you had a person Toch Kedei Dibor, but you go based on his Dibor, but what if he's a mute? So we say, okay, a mute would get the generic thing, but otherwise people get their individual one. So maybe that fits under the same exception like we had here for the Dalet Amos. But in any event, interesting machloksim about these things. Okay, so says the Gemara, Hishnayim Miksasa Moshev Shalzeh. Okay, so now we have to look again back at our Mishnah, because we have to see what our Mishnah said. So the Mishnah says, at the very bottom of Mimhei Amar Aleph, Hayishnayim, if there were two people that were stranded, and they each only get four amos, Hayishnayim, Miksas Amosov Shalzeh, Besoch Amosov Shalzeh. And they had overlapping areas of their Dalet Amos of Tchum. So we said, Mevi'en V'Ochim V'Emsa, they could meet in the middle, they could have a meal together, because there's an area that their Tchumim overlap, so obviously they could sit together. U'bilvad shelo yotzi zeh mitoch shelo l'toch shel chaver, because you have to make sure that if person A, his items, have the Shvisa just like him. So you have to make sure that he doesn't take his items into their central area, and then person B ends up putting it back into his, because then you've effectively taken something whose shvisa was with person A and put it in the tchum of person B. Okay, and then the Gemara says, Haya shlosha, let's say you had three, v'hamtsoi muvlo beneyem, so basically you had one guy in the middle, two amas, his western two amas overlapped with the person to the west, and his eastern two amas overlapped with the person to his east, or maybe I should say left and right is easier. So two amas of his were overlapping with the guy on his left, and two amas were overlapping with the guy on his right, but the guy on the right and left, they met right in the middle of the third, of the middle guy's tchum. They did not overlap at all. So to that, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Hayishlosha, if there's three, and the middle guy is swallowed up between the two, meaning he has two amas in each of their things, hu mutar imahen, he's mutter to sit with them. Vehein mutar imo, and they are mutter to come into his area. So basically, his whole area, he can be with them in their area or in the other guy's area. Ushnayim achitzonim asurim zem zeh. But the two guys on the end, the right and left, since their tchumim don't overlap, they can never be sitting together eating lunch. They could sit near each other, each in their own tchum, but they can't be in any common area because there's no overlap. Okay, so that's the case of the Mishnah. To that, Reb Shimon said, Amar Reb Shimon, Lema Davar Doma, the way we're understanding this initially is Reb Shimon's going to bring another example. What's this similar to? L'shalosh chatzeres ha-psuchas zu l'zu, u-psuchas l'shus ha-rab. You have three chatzeres next to each other, which open one to the other, but they also have an independent opening to the shus ha-rab. So the halacha is as follows. When you have that scenario, because they each open to the Rishus Rabbim, they can be deemed independent from one another. They're not relying on each other for a single entrance to the Rishus Rabbim. So therefore, they can do their own thing. They can do a Ruvei Chetzeres. They don't have to deal with the people next to them. But if they want, so that's because they open direct to Rishus Rabbim. But it happens to be they also open to each other. So if they want, they could do an Eruv with each other. It's their choice. So now we're saying as follows, you have these three chatzeres next to each other, they could choose to do an Eruv or not do an Eruv. Irvu shtayim imam tzoyis, if the two on either side of him, of the middle guy, do an Eruv, they each do an Eruv with the middle guy, he mutaris imahen, he's mutter with them, vehe mutaris ima, and they're mutter with him, meaning the people on the right and left chatzeres can carry things into the middle because they each have an Eruv with him. Ushtayim achitzonas asurus, Zuim zu, but the chatzar on the right and the chatzar on the left did not do an Eruv with each other. They only did an Eruv with the middle guy. So therefore, they cannot carry, you cannot bring an item from the right chatzar and through the middle chatzar to the left or vice versa. And, they can't carry into each other's, chatzeros from the right and left, but they each can bring in the middle and the middle can go into each of theirs, carry into each of theirs. So it seems that the Mishnah gave an example of overlapping tchum of these three people sitting out in the road somewhere traveling. And then Reb Shimon brought another example of chatzeros. So the Gemara asks, why did Reb Shimon have to bring another example? It just sounds like the exact same thing again. It's saying overlapping areas can go and people don't overlap can't go. So the Gemara says, "Hachi Karmelu Rabbi Shimon LaRabbana." No, this is not. He's not just bringing another example. I'll explain it outside first. So we're going to see this case of three chatzeros that actually you'll see it tomorrow. It's on the very bottom of today's daf, but I'm going to stop before there. So you have it, according to the Rabbanan, if you have these three chatzeros, they cannot. None of them can carry into the other. That's what they learn. Rabbi Shimon learns, as we learned in the Mishnah, the middle guy can carry into right and left, and right and left can carry into the middle, but right cannot carry to left. But the Rabbanan say, no one can carry into each other's. That's the Rabbanan. So when Reb Shimon brought the case and he said, Lama Davar Doma, he was asking a kasha on the Rabbanan. He said, you Rabbanan who say that no one can carry into others, Michti, let's see, Lamad Davar Tomer. What, this thing in the Mishnah is very similar to our case. We have three chatzeros that are open to each other and they're also open to Rosh Hashanah. Maishna Hasum de Pagisu, Maishna Hachot de Lo Pagisu. Why do you argue on me by the three chatzeros, but you don't argue on the Mishnah that says that when you have the guy on the right and left and the guy in the middle who overlaps with both of them, that they could each go into him and he could go into them, he could be in the same area as them. Why don't you argue with me there? In other words, it seems basically Reb Shimon was not coming to give an example. He was coming to ask a kasha to the Rabbanan. Why are you okay with this Mishnah, but you don't apply the same halacha when you have three chatzeros to allow the overlapping people to at least overlap and be able to carry within the overlapping areas? So the Gemara says, Rabbanan, what would Rabbanan answer to Reb Shimon? So that's what Reb Shimon was trying to do in the Mishnah. What would Rabbanan answer? The Gemara says, Hasam avshei diurin, hacha lo avshei diurin. So he says there's a big distinction between the case in the Mishnah that I don't argue about and the case you bring up of the three chatzeros. Because in this case where you have the three people who are traveling, how many people do you have? You have three. They're stuck together. So they're going to be careful. They realize they each have a separate tchum. So they're going to be careful that the stuff in the tchum of the right guy doesn't end up in the tchum of the left guy through the middle. So they're careful. But when you have three chatzeros have many people. They have houses that open onto them. Each house might have multiple people. You have a lot of people in the equation here. So that, the Rabbanan say, I don't want people going back and forth because I'm worried that someone's going to go from the left chatzer and bring it to the middle, and then someone else is going to carry that same item from the middle to the right, and it's going to get messed up. So therefore, Rabbanan say, there's a big distinction between the two. Don't ask me from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, we can manage three people without having to make a gzeiro. But three chatzeros, which have many people in them, not so fast. Okay, says the Gemara, v'shtayim achim tzanos. So this is again this idea, and by the way, I'm sorry it's taking so long, but the Amud Beis is going to go very quickly. Okay, so says the Gemara, we have these three chatzeros, and we said that according to Reb Shimon, the middle guy can carry into both right and left, because he has a chatzer with them. Left, right and left can carry into the middle guy, but right and left can't carry into each other. Ask the Gemara, I'll say it outside first and then we'll read it inside. The Gemara asked the following question. The halacha is as follows. Let's say I have two chatzeros that are next to each other, and they each have a chatzer, they each did a ruvei chatzeros with each other, and now they're thinking, you know what, we should get together and make us one big chatzer. So all you need to do is you take the food, because again, remember the way you make an Erev is everyone contributes some food, you put it in one house, and we say it's as if everyone lives in that house, and therefore the chatzer belongs to one house, and that's the mechanism. So you take the food that was put in one house, you take it from this chatzer, and you put it in the other chatzer. And now the two chatzeros are merged. So the basic idea would be, wait a second, why are you telling me that the right and left can each carry to the middle, but they can't carry to each other? Why not think of it in the same way? You did the guy in the middle did a Erev with the chatzer on the left. So they put food in the middle courtyard. Now he does a Erev with the people on the right who have their own Erev, and they put the food in the middle chatzer. So why not say one big happy family here? Why do we say that the right and left can't carry into each other? At the end of the day, you're merging their Eruvim, and therefore it should become some big combined area that everyone could walk and carry everywhere. So that's the Gemara's question. Once the two outside ones have an Erev sitting in the middle one, it's one big chatzer and everyone should be combined. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what, you're right. Theoretically it could have been done that way, but the problem is, kigon shetnasna emtsoyis eruva bezu veeruva bezu. That what happened? The middle chatzer did an Eruv with the left chatzer, and where did they put the food? In the left chatzer. And then they did an Erev with the right chatzer, and where did they put the food? In the right chatzer. So now the issue is, in theory, had you done it and you kept the food in the middle chatzer, then, in fact, you would have one big Erev and one big happy family. But because the Erev for the right and the middle is in the right chatzer, and the Erev for the left and the middle is in the left chatzer, so they're not together in the middle, so that's why it doesn't work. That's Rabbi Yehuda's answer. Rabbi Sheshish says, Afilu Tema, you could even say, Shenasnu Eruvim Bam Tzayis. Both Eruvs are in the middle chatzer. So why is it not one big happy family, and we look at it as all one big combined chatzer? Says the Gemara, Kigon Shenasnuhu Amabez, that you put it B'Shnei Batim in two separate houses. So therefore, in theory, if you would have them literally together, it would all be one big chatzer, but they put them in two different houses. So therefore, they don't combine with each other. So says the Gemara, wait a second. Come on, like who? Kibbeh Shammai? You're telling me that, Reb Sheshes, you're giving me an answer to say that because it's in separate houses, it doesn't combine. That's the halacha of Beis Shammai. We don't pass on like Beis Shammai. The Sanya, where do we see it's the halacha of Beis Shammai? Because we learned in a braisa as follows. Second line, Chamisha Shegavu Sei Ruvon, if you had five people who were in a chatzar, and they gathered their Erev, Vinasnuhu Beshnei Kalim, and so they basically, three people contributed food and they put it in one box, and two people contributed food and they put it in a different box. So Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Eruvin Eruv. The Eruv is no good. We don't combine Eruvim that are in separate places into one Eruv. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says Eruvin Eruv. The Eruv is a good Eruv. So ask the Gemara on Rav Sheshes, how could you say that the reason it doesn't all combine is because the Eruvs are in two different houses? But we see that's Beis Shammai's view that things don't combine. But according to Beis Hillel, you combine Eruvs. So why wouldn't we combine the Eruvs in this case and say it's all big one big chatzar? So the Gemara says, Afilutem Beis Hillel, I could tell you that Rav Sheshes' answer, we said it's in separate houses, even according to Beis Hillel. Even Beis Hillel would say that it doesn't combine in that case. Ad Kaku Karmi Beis Hillel Hasom Ela B'Shnei Kelim B'Bayis Echad. When did Beis Hillel argue on Beis Shammai and say it does combine is when you had two boxes, they were both sitting in one house. To that, Beis Hillel said, no, they combine. It doesn't matter that it's in two boxes. Avo B'Shnei Batim Lo, but Beis Hillel wouldn't necessarily say that when the food is in two separate houses, it combines, especially when you think about the mechanics of an Eruv. The mechanics of an Eruv is we say you put the food in one house and it's as if everyone lives in that house. So if you put the food in two different houses, so then they're not all living in the same house. So therefore, Beis Hillel would not necessarily say they combine, and therefore, Rav Sheshes' answer is the reason it doesn't combine is because they chose to put the Eruvs for the right and the left Eruvs in two separate houses, but had they done it in one, it would all combine. Okay, so now we have the answers of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Sheshes. Amar le Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Avia le Rav Ashi. Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Avia said to Rav Ashi, le Rav Yehuda kasha, le Rav Sheshes kasha. I have a problem with Rabbi Yehuda's answer, and I have a problem with Rav Sheshes' answer. Le Rabbi Yehuda kasha, I have a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Amar, he said, kigon shenasnem tzoyisei ruvu bezu, vei ruvu bezu. That the problem was that they put each Erev, one in the right chatzar, one in the left chatzar. They put it in the middle, it would combine. But because they put it in separate ones, it didn't work to combine. So, but ask the Gemara, ask Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Avia, wait a second, Kivan the Erevim tzayis b'hadei chitzona havei l'chada. So he says, wait a second, when the middle chatzar did an Erev with the left chatzar, they now became one big combined chatzar. So you have a left-middle chatzar. So he says, v'chi hadra v'erevah b'hadei idoch. When the people in the middle chatzar now go and do an Erev with the people in the right chatzar, so who's doing it with the people in the right chatzar? It's the middle left chatzar. So okay, so the middle people who are combined with the left people are acting as the shliach, as the representatives of a combined chatzar of the middle and the left. So when they now make an Erev, when the middle guys make an Erev in the right, it's shlichus avdei. They're doing the shlichus of the left when they make the Eruv with the right, and therefore it should be all one thing, because when they do their first Eruv, they become a combined conglomerate, and when the middle people do it with the second, they're acting on behalf of that combined conglomerate, and the conglomerate of the middle of the left is doing an Eruv with the people on the right, and everyone should be good. So who cares if the food of the Eruv, one is kept in the left and one is kept in the right? At the end of the day, these were done sequentially, and when you do the second one, he's acting as a shliach of, the middle people are acting as a shliach of their own chatzar, plus the chatzar they already merged with. In this case, I'm saying the left. So that's the kasha that Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Avia had on Rabbi Yehuda's teretz. Ula Rav Sheshes kasha, and Rav Sheshes, who said that we're dealing with a scenario where it could be in the same chatzar, but it's in two different houses, Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Avia has a much bigger problem. He says, "Tihave kichamisha sheshruim b'chatzar achas v'shachach echem mehem v'lo iriv the asriya dadi." He says, "I'll read it again in a second, but let's just say it outside." He says, "If what you're saying is true that it's in the same chatzar, just in two different houses, forget the fact that it doesn't work. No one should be able to carry anywhere. Why? Because let's say you had the following scenario." Similar to what we said before, Beis Shammai, they have three people and two people. But let's say you had a one chatzar, had five people. Three people did an Erev with each other, and two people did an Erev with themselves. But they didn't do an Erev together. So the halacha there is, it doesn't work. Because if you have people who are not in a single Erev with the other people, then they aser each other, right? We talked about this the other day, that if someone was away, out of town, we talked about if one person is not part of the Eruv Chatzeres, it doesn't work. So now ask the Gemara the following thing. What's the whole mechanism of Eruv? The mechanism of Eruv is I collect food from everyone, I put it in a house, so it's like we all live in that house. So now ask the Gemara, the Rav Acha Brei de Rav Avia, ask as follows. That when the middle guy does an Eruv with the left Chatzer, so what are they doing? They're taking food from all the people in the left Chatzer, and they're sticking it, according to Rav Sheshes, in one of the houses in the center Eruv. Okay, now you have the middle people do an Eruv with the people on the right, so all the people on the right and the people in the middle contribute food, and they put it in another house in the middle Chatzer. So says Rav Acha Brei de Rav Avia, now you have a problem, because you have the people from the right chatzer who are treated as if they're living in the middle chatzer, and you have the people from the left chatzer who are treated as if they're living in the middle chatzer, and yet they don't have an Erev with each other. So forget the fact that they can't carry from right to left. No one should be able to carry anywhere, because it's the same scenario as if you had three people made their own Erev and two people made their own, and they're two separate Eruvim, and they aser on each other. So why can anyone carry in this scenario according to what we're saying? So that's just to read it again. He says, "Kasha is a kasha to have a chamisha shurim b'chatzer echas." It should be like five people who are in one chatzer. V'shachach echem behen v'lo eruv. One guy is not part of the eruv. Even one person who's not part of the eruv who lives in that chatzer asers the chatzer. The asri adadi, they aser each other. So why not say that the people from the right who are now treated as if they're living in the middle aser the people from the left who are also treated as if they live in the middle? And it's as if there are people who live in the middle chatzer who didn't participate in the joint eruv with each other. So the Gemara, so that's Rav Acha Brei de Rav Avia. He had a kasha on Rav Yehuda, which is why weren't they acting as shlichus when they did the second Erev, and we have a kasha on Rav Sheshes, which is why if you're considering the peoples, if they all live in the middle, why don't they aser each other since they're not all in one big Erev together? So the Gemara says, Amalei Ravashi, so Ravashi answered Rav Acha Brei de Rav Avia, the Rav Avia, lo the Rav Yehuda kasha, lo the Rav Sheshes kasha. It's not a kasha on Rav Yehuda, it's not a kasha on Rav Sheshes. I'm going to answer you each of these kashas. Rav Yehuda lo kasha, it's not a kasha, because what did you say? You said that when the middle guy made the Erev with the right, then they're together, and then when he makes it with the left, or I think I said it the other way around last time, but whatever it is, we make it with the other, you should be acting as the shliach. So he says that's not, he says theoretically that's true. But look at the scenario, what's going on here. Lo kasha, kivon the Erev lo emtsois b'hadei chitzono, that since the middle guy set up to do an Erev with each of the outside ones, ushtayim chitzonos b'hadei adadi lo irvu, but then for whatever reason, the right and left chatzeros didn't choose to do an Erev together. So galya daite, they reveal their das, the baha nichale, baha nichale. Clearly, they know how to make an Erev if they wanted. From the fact that the left people made an Erev with the middle, but they didn't make it with the right, and vice versa. The people on the right made it with the middle, but they didn't make it with the left. So clearly, they were showing they didn't want to have an Erev with each other. So therefore, you cannot claim, as you were suggesting, that really when they do the second Erev, they're acting as the shliach, as the shluchim of the first. They're not, because the first people have evidenced the fact that they're not interested. The left people are not interested in making an Erev with the right, because if they were interested, they'd have done it themselves. And the fact they didn't do it shows they didn't want to do it. And if they didn't want to do it, you can't suggest that shlichus applies. So that was Rav Ashi's teretz to the kasha and Rabbi Yehuda. And now he says, well, Rav Sheshes lo kasha, your kasha and Rav Sheshes that said that since everyone is considered as if they're living in the middle chatzer, they should aser on each other because the right and left haven't done an Erev together and they're all living in the middle chatzer. He says, lo kasha, im amru diurin lahakel, yomru diurin lahachmir. He says, hold on a second. It's true that the mechanism by which Erev works is that the people whose food is in one house is considered as if they all live there. But that's a halachic fiction. In other words, that's a kula we made so that you can do an Erev Chatzeros and make it treated as if everyone's living in the same house. But they're not literally living in the same house. So therefore, says Rav Ashi, when Chazal created this concept that by putting your food there, it's as if you're there, that was to create a kula where you could make Erev Chatzeros. But that doesn't mean literally that the people are as if they live there, and therefore you could say lechumra, that they're going to aser on each other from carrying anywhere. So that's what the Gemara says. Rav Sheshet Lakasha, im amru diurin lahakel. If we created this concept that when you put your food there, it's as if you live there. We did that to be makel, to allow people to do erev chatzeros. Yomri diurin lahachmir. Are you going to say what you, Rav Acha Breda Rav Evia, is suggesting, that we're going to make a chumrah and we're going to passel the ability of the right and left to each do a erev with the middle because it's as if everyone's living in the middle? That whole concept of us is as if you're living is there as a kula, not as a chumrah, and the Gemara, Rav Acha Breda Rav Evia, seem to be using it as a chumrah, and therefore, says Rav Ashi, I don't consider that a kasha. Okay? So we'll leave off here. Good tov, Shavuot Tov.